there in podcast land, and welcome back to Spoilers, your weekly podcast show where your hosts have lots of opinions but zero credentials. My name is Hollywood. I'm your host today, and I'm joined by my two guests, Maestro and Adam. Introduce yourselves.
Yo, I'm Adam.
Tonight we're going to be reviewing a cult classic from the '80s by John Carpenter, "They Live," starring Roddy Piper, the wrestler.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But before we get to the movie of the week, we're going to go to the top of the hour and do the movie news, which is what we do every single week.
Do it.
So first up, according to MoviePilot.com, director Christopher Nolan, who's producing 2015 Superman versus Batman film, has told director Zack Snyder who he sees as a potential candidate to play Batman. Wes Bentley. Do you know who Wes Bentley is?
The name sounds familiar.
He was in American Beauty, the most beautiful thing in the world recording. He was in the Hunger Games with that like messed up goatee beard combo.
All right. Super white dude?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, auditions for The Dark Knight won't begin until next month, so we're not going to have any solid news until probably October.
Dude, does that mean if they're not going to be the... It means we can try out for Batman?
I'm sure that's what it means, yes.
You want to try out for Batman?
I'm sure it's an open casting call.
Absolutely.
Like that Mark Wahlberg movie where anybody could try out for the Eagles.
Is that right?
Invincible? Well, that was based on a true story. That actually happened. The Eagles had open training camps.
Wow.
And it's Always Sunny did a joke on that movie.
Okay. I had no idea.
What are your thoughts on Nolan picking this guy?
I'm Batman. That's about it.
Is he Superman, he said?
Or no, as Batman.
As Batman?
We already have Superman. It's Cavill.
Yeah.
I don't know the guy very well. I mean, just from what you mentioned, I have a visual picture. Hunger Games was okay. He didn't stand out, obviously, because I don't recognize him. But I don't know. I feel like anybody being Batman,
you're going to walk in with just criticism.
Yeah, because... I still enjoy Keaton as Batman the most, even though he's like really diminutive. He's got a very small frame. Somehow he can still kick ass.
Yeah.
But as far as attitude goes, I think he pulled off Bruce Wayne better than anybody else has. And, that guy. Okay.
We're talking about Wes Bentley.
Oh, we got a picture here. All right, perfect. Perfect, Maestro. We'll put that on the website also.
Do you want to?
Yeah.
Okay.
So people know. Like, they learn like I did what he looks like, in case you don't know who he is.
Oh, it's like a commentary track, like you're following live.
Yeah, exactly.
As you're Googling him.
All right. He looks like he could do a Batman. He's got the Batman look. Well, he actually looks a lot like...
the guy from...
Batman. The last Batman. What's his name? The crazy dude.
The Joker?
No.
Heath Ledger?
No, Batman. Batman. American history. American Psycho.
You talking about Christian Bale?
Bale.
Christian Bale. He looks Christian Bale-y.
Yeah.
So does every other man that has like brunette hair and like
chiseled features.
Yeah.
I think they should. I honestly think they should just get a no name.
Yeah.
With a no name, you're not going to have any expectations. That's how it was with X-Men in 2000. Nobody knew who Hugh Jackman was.
Right. And freaking nailed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they should be a no name. Because if you throw Ryan Gosling, who the studio wants,
What? They want him as Batman?
Him and Josh Brolin. Those are two main guys.
Wow.
Snyder wants someone else, and then the producers want someone else. It's just a war right now over who's going to play Batman.
No, I think a no name is a good idea because, first of all, you get the there's no background for it.
Uh-huh.
Like one thing that I didn't like about Saving Private Ryan was in the middle of the movie, Ted Danson walks up, and I just like, what? Get behind the bar. What do you think over here in a war? Serve me a drink. It's like no, your cheers. Uh-huh. It's like all those kind of movies. I get pulled out of it for a second. Like, nah, you don't belong here. You don't. There's certain actors that can pull past that. Like, I think Kevin Spacey, I don't have anything typecasted because I think maybe he plays a lot of different roles.
He's diverse.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But somebody that's played one role for a long time, like Johnny Depp also, he's now Jack Sparrow, even though he's done a bunch of other stuff. A no name is good for any movie because no preconceived notions. I'm done with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I see the Wes Bentley as Two-Face more than anything else, really.
See, no.
He already has the crazy eyes, you know?
I guess, but Two-Face was awesome. What's Two-Face's name? Aaron something?
Aaron Eckhart.
Beautiful. Beautiful guy.
Okay.
Huh? I love Two-Face, I should say. So he pulled it off perfectly, and I'm in love with it.
Okay. next bit of news. According to MovieWeb.com, Star Wars Episode 7 may get a December release date in 2015. Ever since the franchise's inception in 1977, the Star Wars films have always received a May release to kick off the summer. However, Disney is prepared to break tradition and give the much-anticipated film a December release in order to get away from the already loaded summer slate of 2015, which includes such blockbuster films as The Avengers 2, Superman vs. Batman, Pirates of the Caribbean 5,
Yay!
Terminator 5, and my movie that I cannot wait for, Pitch Perfect 2.
Okay. Why are you here?
Smart move by Disney to get it out of that crowded summer to the holidays?
I guess. I mean, that still seems like a very long time away. 2015? I mean, I guess they still got to film it and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I think any time they release Star Wars is going to do great because we're just all waiting to see what mm-hmm. Disney's going to do with it. Since it got bought out, we're like, oh, personally, I have like high hopes, but also wary because it's Disney. I mean,
Disney's done a lot of good things, though.
They have.
Yeah.
But I feel like Star Wars should be a little bit darker.
Have you seen Pirates of the Caribbean?
Yeah.
You saw how dark it did get.
Oh, that's Disney too, right? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they have a ride in their own park.
All right. Yeah, that's a scary ride.
From a business point of view, this is genius because that summer you're going head to head against Avengers 2, Superman versus Batman, Pirates. You're going against all these big movies. By you shifting it to the winter, you're going to dominate the winter because the winter is when the studios release their art house flicks for Oscar season. Okay. Because the summer are your tentpole movies, your blockbusters, and then winter is your serious movies. By Disney throwing that in December, they're just going to dominate the winner.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But at the same time, you think people are going to not see it because Avengers?
Oh, people are still going to watch it.
Yeah, so I don't think it should matter when it comes out. People are still going to watch it regardless.
Yeah.
The competition shouldn't matter for movies like this. I mean, yeah. People are going to see Avengers. They're going to see Batman vs. Superman. They're going to see Star Wars because these are great or potentially possibly great movies.
Yeah, yeah.
Regardless of what else is out there, they're going to see it. Now, if I guess you can't capitalize on there's nothing else to watch, so let's watch that one. But those are people that have already... Maybe already seen it even.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the repeat value, maybe. I don't know. I just feel like it doesn't matter when it comes out. It's going to get a big crowd.
It's just, it's every Star Wars movie since I've been alive, pretty much the prequels, they've always come out in May. I just got used to going in May. Usually May, the first summer movie of May is what kicks off the summer. So it's going to be, like this year it was Iron Man 3. And then the year before that, it was the Avengers. So you always have these giant blockbusters to kick off the summer.
Okay. I never really put a time frame to it, but I guess that does make sense.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you can't really stand in line too much. Well, as kids anyway, you can't stand in line during school.
Yeah.
During school. So during the summer, that'd be better. But yeah, even when Star Wars started releasing the first episodes, there was still like lines and lines mm-hmm. for days and tents of people just trying to watch it. So yeah, I don't think Star Wars has anything to worry about. Maybe businessly, like you were saying, there's an appeal to December, but...
Mm-hmm.
Well, think about it this way. I mean, like, Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter all did the December show.
Is that right?
Yes.
No.
So, by doing that, they're not missing out on the people that do want to go to watch the movie. They're just making it easier for people to not have to choose.
But do you think it would have been less big if it was in the summer then?
I think it'd be... Well, the thing about it is I would only go to the movie theaters in the summertime to escape the heat.
Okay.
So it doesn't really matter to me.
All right. Decent point.
Okay. Next bit of news. WWE Films. Did you know they make films?
There was The Marine. Was that one of their films?
Yes.
I do now. Cena.
Pretty much anyone that has a wrestler that's not The Rock is a WWE film release. They had their last movie. It actually was a hit. Was the one with Halle Berry where she's a 911 operator?
Oh, The Call. Okay.
The Call. That was a WWE
really?
Studio. Yeah,
I had no interest to watch that.
Yeah,
I had zero interest.
So WWE Films has announced that Leprechaun Origin, the prequel / remake for the Leprechaun franchise, is slated for a February release in 2014. The horror film stars WWE wrestler Hornswoggle. Do you know who that is? He's
no
a little
idea.
Midget. His character was he was a little midget.
Okay.
Leprechaun-like person.
All right, that makes sense.
And it's expected to be a much darker and serious film compared to the previous entries, which were he was in the hood and in space.
Right.
Comedies.
Those were comedies? I never saw much of those.
They're pretty much comedies.
I thought it was supposed to be scary. Not so
the
much.
Call?
No, not so much.
You never thought The Call was scary?
No, Leprechauns.
Leprechauns?
Are you guys ready for a new Leprechaun film?
I guess.
Have you ever seen a Leprechaun film?
I don't think I have. I've seen the movie covers passing by in the blockbusters.
Have you ever seen a Maestro?
Yes, I've seen plenty. Disney actually has a movie about leprechauns.
What?
Disney?
Yes.
What's it called?
Let me find out.
Oh, boy.
Well, you know who starred in the first Leprechaun, right?
Vern Troyer.
I think it's called Luck of the Irish.
And went on to become a big superstar on TV and in movies?
No. Bruce Willis?
Jennifer Aniston.
It was
what?
Jennifer Aniston. One of her first roles was in the first Leprechaun. Usually... A lot of actors and actresses start off in horror. Tom Hanks' first movie was a horror movie.
What?
Ben Affleck's, one of his first roles was in horror. George Clooney.
Wow.
All these big stars. Because well, they're super young. There's so many horror movies and they're so cheap to make.
Oh, okay.
That the, I mean, the numbers are out there because there's so many available.
Interesting.
It's easier to just grab people. Kevin Bacon, right? The original Friday the 13th.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Johnny Depp, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Ah.
He was the one who gets pulled. Did you ever see it?
No.
Oh, he's laying in the jacuzzi and Freddy pulls him into the jacuzzi and then just all the blood splatters out of the, out of the waterbed. I'm sorry, not a jacuzzi, a waterbed. And just starts splattering all over the place.
So was he like just like in there for one scene just to die?
No, he was the one of the girl's boyfriends. And he's very Johnny Depp in the movie. He has he has one ear pierced and he's got like the long hair and he's like, "Hey man, yeah."
That's Johnny Depp for you?
Yeah. Well, he wasn't like Johnny Depp we know now.
Yeah.
Okay, the movie that we're looking at from Disney from the Irish Leprechaun movie is called The Luck of the Irish. Filmed in or brought out in 2001 by Disney. Stories about a teenager that must battle for a gold charm, which is his family heirloom, that to keep his family from being controlled by an evil leprechaun.
Wow. Is this a cartoon?
No, real life.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the plot of the leprechaun? Pretty much the gist of it.
I have no idea.
He has a pot of gold, and if you take his gold, you have powers. I think you can get wishes or something.
Something like that.
Something like that. Huh. So he needs all his coins back in order for him to be powerful.
Okay.
That's so basically, pretty,
and then he went to Vegas in part three. He went to LA. Okay,
that's a horrible place to go with
part,
gold.
Okay,
Las Vegas.
Part one, it's like in a farm in the middle of nowhere. Part two goes to LA. Part three, he goes to Vegas. Part four, they go to space. Part five, he goes to the hood, and part six, he goes back to the hood.
Wow,
interesting.
So now like the franchise is coming all the way back.
Yeah.
All
right. Speaking of Disney, have you guys seen those? Have you guys seen those like little Easter eggs that the animators put in there for you?
Sure. Yeah.
Like those, like Easter. The new, I know you've seen all the older ones with like, you know, Lion King and everything like that, but they also have the ones because I think Pixar is owned by Disney now, right?
Yeah.
And Wreck-It Ralph, you're talking about?
Not even just in Wreck-It Ralph. I mean, like for instance, Monsters Inc.
Yep.
They have a picture where I guess Sully opens the door and starts talking to either Boo or whoever else, and there's a picture of Uncle Roger. In like stick figures, like the drawing figures, and then mommy underneath, and then they got the Uncle Roger standing straight, and the mommy bending over towards his crotch.
Who's Uncle Roger?
It's just a picture that's on the wall in the one of the screenshots.
Oh, all right.
It's just like the Easter eggs that you see. They're very like
the sexual stuff.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Like Little Mermaid with the penis castles.
Yes.
Oh well, there's one that's not sexual. Everyone think the Lion King when he hits the dust, it says sex.
Yeah. What's it say?
It's SFX. The special effects team put that in.
Yeah.
It doesn't say sex. It's SFX.
I did hear about that too.
That's a little close, but yeah.
It's fine.
You want to see? There's this one picture. I'm not even sure. I really think you guys.
How do we get
here?
I don't know.
Take a look at this picture, guys. Just seriously, we can pause whatever else have you. But you see this picture from this movie that I made from Pixar? I think it is.
This is Toy Story 3.
Yeah.
This is when Barbie and Ken are in the.
Yeah.
Fuck is that? Oh shit!
Oh my,
they're dirty down there.
I know, right?
All
right. Over here in Pocahontas, he's jacking off.
All right.
Oh, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Last bit of news: the AV Club has announced, or they're breaking.
AV Club, what's that?
It's
audiovisual.
You know the Onion?
Yeah.
Onion. The AV Club is their movie, TV, entertainment branch of the Onion.
Okay.
According to the AV Club, a Hulk Hogan biopic is in development, and when asked who he would like to see portray himself in the big screen adaptation of his life, the Hulkster has said he wants Chris Hemsworth, the guy who played Thor. To play him.
Oh, okay.
Would he make a good Hulkster? And are you excited for this film?
Interesting.
Oh, yeah. What you gonna do when these 20-inch pythons come crashing down on you?
So it's about his life is what it's supposed to be?
Yeah, it's a biopic. So it's about him rising up, meeting McMahon, and just owning wrestling, making wrestling mainstream.
I would like to see that. Just because I don't feel like there's enough of that out there of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were talking about off the air earlier about the wrestler is the only real movie I know that is about wrestling at all. And to see from, especially Hulk Hogan's point of view, I mean, he was huge.
He's the biggest one ever.
Yeah, absolutely. And this guy, I feel like he needs to work out a lot first. I mean, Thor is still kind of built, but he's not like ridiculously
built. He doesn't have 20-inch pythons, right, brother. Yeah,
right. Maybe he's got like 16 or something.
Yeah.
But I would like to see that. I really would. Just because it's an interesting look at a life that I'm not used to, that I don't know anything about.
That whole industry is amazing. When you hear these stories from legends, just you hear these drug stories, these sex stories, like what it was like to be on the road, and I'd love to see the Hogan biopic. I like most biopics. If it's a biopic, I'll check it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, there's a new one called CBGB about the bar in New York that discovered the Ramones and all these big bands.
Oh, okay.
And it stars Hans Gruber.
Oh, is that right?
Rickman. Oh, nice. He's the guy who owns CBGB.
Nice. All right.
A lot of it focuses on the Ramones. And I like seeing those biopics.
Yeah, absolutely.
And growing up, I was a Hulkamaniac.
Were you?
Yeah, I had the shirt. I had the pillows. I had the pajamas. I was all hulked out.
Did you have a breakaway tank top?
Oh, I tried. I wasn't strong enough. Because I tried to rip it as is. I didn't think as a kid, what if he has like a slit first
right.
to then make it easier?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I never really thought of that.
Yeah.
So I'm there like a kid, like an idiot, just.
Well, at least you tried.
Yeah.
I guess that's all that matters. You tried.
I just want to know who's going to play McMahon.
Ooh. Because
Vince McMahon is a larger than life character.
Yeah. That should be like Stallone. If he can get some acting chops, then that'd be great.
Yeah. Hogan, dude. What would you call the movie?
Ooh. It should be called Oh Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. No, that's Macho Man.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Didn't he say Oh Yeah, too?
No, Macho Man was, oh, yeah, snap into a Slim Jim.
Yeah,
yeah.
I feel like he had one of those yelling things.
He had brother.
Brother.
Jesus, what brother. You gonna do?
Brother.
Yeah, his was brother.
All right, just brother to where Arthur.
Not so much.
Well, that's it for the news.
All right.
Now we're on to the main event.
Oh, boy.
This week we watched They Live, 1988's They Live, directed by John Carpenter, starring Rowdy Roddy Piper, Keith David, Meg Foster, Peter Jason, and a whole cast of others.
Wait a minute, I watched that movie with you guys, and I did not see Meg Foster at all.
Yeah, it was that woman.
That man woman?
We'll get into that.
All right.
Okay.
Adam, what is They Live about? Give us a quick synopsis. God.
All right. There's this homeless guy walking around the earth trying to find work, I guess. And he stumbles upon this church that apparently is producing these sunglasses, also trying to broadcast a pirate signal to wake up the world to this alien form that has taken over and is controlling our brainwaves through advertising and through just radio frequencies, I guess. And they make these glasses that you can wear that turn your night vision or turn your vision to black and white somehow and also let you see the alien forms and all the subliminal messages that they're sending out.
Mm-hmm.
He then takes it upon himself to take down this alien world by himself. Eventually runs into other people that are like-minded, and they try to form a resistance and try to take down this alien empire.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it works out so well. It seems like maybe it did, but I feel like they ended it in a weird place.
Okay.
But, yeah, I guess we'll get to that.
So let's jump right into it.
All right.
What I want to know is, Adam, you said you weren't a big wrestling fan. You only know Stone Cold and The Rock.
Right.
Have you ever seen Roddy Piper wrestler?
I have not. I recognize the name, but that's as far as it goes.
What did you think of him as the lead in this?
I believe that he was a wrestler.
playing a guy
playing
who found
a guy.
Glasses?
He's definitely not an actor that just picked up this role. He lacked a lot of emotion except for anger. He got that one down pretty well. Everything else was kind of like very flat. And I just – I guess the whole movie was just so weird. I mean, after watching it, I was just sitting around and like – trying to process what just happened to me, and he didn't help. he's not a very good actor, but the storyline was kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure he's successful at being angry. I got that vibe.
Oh yeah, his character in wrestling. I grew up watching wrestling, and I used to love Roddy Piper.
All right,
he used to cut the best promos. His interviews were the best, and it's strange seeing him because a lot of his interviews were improv. Where he was just talking smack, like calling out The Undertaker and stuff and just like wailing on him like verbally.
Right.
And it's weird seeing him try to follow a script that's set that's where he's trying to act where he's like, yeah, well, we got to take this resistance down.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like, I guess, you know, honestly, don't laugh.
Oh.
This was John Carpenter in the 80s.
I'm sorry. You told me to laugh. Now I'm going to laugh. I'm sorry.
This is John Carpenter in the 80s.
Okay.
Didn't you just picture Kurt Russell in this role?
Kurt Russell could have been fine.
Because he was in The Thing. He was in Big Trouble, Escape. This is that era. I'm surprised he didn't have Kurt Russell in this
movie. Why go Roddy Piper? Why?
Oh, I remember reading somewhere he didn't want Kurt Russell. He wanted like a tough guy, like an actual tough guy to play this guy.
Okay. So you pick somebody that's entertaining people for a living, pretending to be tough kind of thing?
Yeah.
That seems like a bad move.
I honestly think Kurt Russell would have done a good job. You they have the same look. Honestly, it's John Carpenter in the 80s. It's Kurt Russell.
So John Carpenter is Kurt Russell.
They work together, like how Scorsese and De Niro teamed up for the 70s and 80s. Mm-hmm. That was their decade.
Except De Niro is an actor. he can support and carry a movie. You don't go to a wrestler to carry a movie. There's no crowd cheering you on. There's no steel chairs by the wayside.
I mean, they tried it again with The Rock, and it didn't work out so well for the Scorpion King, I think it was.
But now he's good.
But it's taken so long. How many movies has he been in before he actually started doing decent acting?
I guess that's a decent point. Yeah, Scorpion King was. Well, he wasn't there to act. He was there to.
He wasn't the lead.
Ass. Yeah.
He wasn't the lead. Like, Piper's the lead. This is his movie.
Yeah.
I know.
Well,
let's jump into the movie. So, where do you want to start? Do you want to go through the plot? Or do you want to just jump around?
A little bit more about
what do you want to do?
Marty Piper's acting.
Okay.
And maybe not so much his acting, but it's just his character.
Uh-huh.
He started off as a very calm, serene, nice guy about, hey, you know what? Sometimes life sucks, but you just got to do what you got to do.
Got to roll with the punches.
Roll with the punches. I mean, yeah, do it the best you can. I mean, I respect the law. I respect the government. And then all of a sudden, like within a second, he just goes fucking nuts and starts killing people and yelling at people and trying to just being all violent. Like, what happened to that nice guy? And he's like, hey, stuff happens. Just deal with it. No. You fucking went nuts.
They didn't get his Prozac.
Maybe those freaking glasses kicked off his testosterone or something.
Remember, in the movie, they say don't wear the glasses too much because it's going to feel like a knife in your brain. Maybe seeing the real world made him snap. Like, okay, you like Event Horizon, right?
Yes, I do.
Remember in Event Horizon when Dr. Neil, I forgot his name.
Yeah.
Dr. Neil sees, like, the real world, like the hell world.
Yeah.
And he just loses his shit.
Right.
Maybe it's that same effect where everything he's been told his whole life has been a lie. Mm-hmm. So by him seeing what the real world is like, he just loses it.
I guess, but even before he saw the hell world in Event Horizon, he was still kind of a dick, a little bit. He was still kind of priggy. They just went into like turbo phase. He didn't go from like Mr. Sunshine to Diablo. It was like he's kind of dicky, and then he became extra dicky, and then he went to like turbo dicky. Yeah. This guy was like Piper was like he was like operating a Ferris wheel.
Yeah.
In one scene, the next scene, he's like chopping up people and throwing them into the bay.
So you're telling me he went plaid.
He went plaid. It was way too fast. Yeah, he got way too crazy, way too fast, and it just didn't make sense to me. And he's a homeless guy to be that positive at the beginning. I was like, you shouldn't be that positive if you're that homeless.
Especially in the 80s during the Reagan administration, where the fucking government just hates you.
Yeah. Yeah, so just the whole homeless aspect of it was a little irky to me at the beginning because he's first of all too positive. And then he stumbles upon this homeless city in the middle of the city where I guess they're just allowed to be homeless and hang out. And somehow
it's a shanty town.
It's a shanty town right next to a buttload of nice houses and a church. And then all of a sudden there's this empty lot and then shanty town.
Yeah. And they have a TV somehow. Where does the electricity come from?
Yeah. With cable.
Where does that come from?
Exactly. They probably take it from another house.
Okay. And everybody's okay with that?
I guess they are. This is the best part about it, though. As soon as, like, in one scene, he's running away from shantytown in the church area, and the next scene, he's in a city, instantly with really big, tall buildings. How did he get there to begin with?
I don't know.
Oh, and I'm guessing this is L.A. It is L.A. because they were on the 7th Street Bridge. Really?
They made a reference to Cleveland.
They shot it in L.A.
Okay.
But it takes place somewhere else.
Yeah, because they mentioned Cleveland. I was like, this doesn't seem like Cleveland to me.
He mentioned Detroit.
Yeah.
Detroit and Cleveland aren't that far apart from one
another. Okay. Yeah, Detroit, I would buy. When they said Cleveland, I was like, this looks way too shitty to be Cleveland. I hear nothing but good things about Cleveland. I hear bad shit about Detroit.
Yeah.
So that would make sense. But I just it didn't seem to. It's a lot of weird stuff.
Oh, let's talk about that fight scene. That elongated fight scene. I think would have lasted for like 15 minutes.
No, it wasn't that long.
It felt like
6 minutes, about 6.5.
I think it was 200 missions in the fight as well.
Yeah, seriously. I guess I was over exaggerating.
And then back into it again, yeah. And you were mentioning that this was an inspiration for the Family Guy.
Yeah, the Family Guy, the Peter Griffin and Chicken fight.
Yeah.
How they just go at it for 5 straight minutes.
Yeah.
It was an idea they took from this
fight. It makes sense. Once you mentioned that, I was like, yeah, I can get that. I totally get that. And I wouldn't be surprised if in Family Guy they like mimic some of the exact same moves even, or bit the hand. I think that happened.
Yeah, they did.
It's a lot of weird stuff.
And you see Piper throwing some wrestling moves at him?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the other guy too is doing wrestling moves.
Keith David, yeah.
Keith David, yeah. There's a lot of wrestling fighting going on throughout the entire movie. Then I guess you got to play to your, I was going to say strength, but I don't, he's not the strength in the movie, but I mean, his background is wrestling, so they got to play to it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the fights were okay, because and you could tell that they have fighting experience, or at least Roddy Piper does.
Yeah,
but it just
he has experience in selling a fight to make it look real,
yeah. Right? But the one thing he could not sell, there's one part in the movie where he's in the house with this chick, and she goes to grab a bottle of wine because she gets thirsty. First of all, I don't know if you guys noticed this.
What's that?
As a wine connoisseur, she goes over to the table and picks up a bottle of wine, and it's a white wine, which should be refrigerated. But this was on the table. So that wine's going to taste real bad.
Ooh,
but anyway,
okay.
She then takes that bottle of wine and smashes it over his head. And then there's like a couple of Mississippi in between him getting hit with a bottle and then his body being thrown through the plate glass window, out the window, to falling down on
a hill.
Yeah. And he's like walks around fine. But there was a very discernible pause. He gets
there's
hit.
A beat where he just doesn't react.
He gets hit. Like, oh. And then he gets like... I guess I better be throwing myself.
Which doesn't make sense because he's a pro wrestler. And pro wrestling, you have to have good timing to sell your moves.
You can't do that in wrestling shows. People are like, oh, no. It's like pulling a punch a foot away from the guy's face. Yeah. You can't do that kind of stuff. He just, that really, I had to rewind it. Like, was it really that long? Because maybe just my mind. No, it was really that long.
That second one pretty much confirmed it.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it was the hair that was stopping the feel of the sensation of
the mullet. Ball.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. I mean, it was so feathered and fluffy, you know? Maybe it might have stopped his feeling or sensation or something like that.
One thing that I had issue with this movie, we were all virgins with this movie.
Yeah.
But we all saw this for the first time together.
Right.
That opening 30 minutes, it's really drag.
Oh, my God.
That was long.
It takes a while for it to get interesting.
Yeah.
But once it kicks up, it gets pretty good.
Yeah, well, it gets going. I don't know about pretty good, but it definitely gets going. Now, I usually have turn-off moments in movies where I get to...
Oh, yes. We should have a segment for the show. Ladies and gentlemen, step on down for Adam's turn-off moment.
Now, unlike most movies where my turn-off moment would be very soon in the movie... Because this drug on for so long, it was later in the movie. Because I was trying to figure out what's happening and trying to get some sort of plot. And mm-hmm. before I knew it, 45 minutes had passed. I'm like, all right, so I don't know what's happening, but I'm not irritated yet.
Mm-hmm.
It was around the point where he started seeing all the shit. He put the glasses on. He started seeing everything. And it got a little weird. And then he walks into a bank, which should have high security because it's a bank and they have a lot of money there. He walks in with a shotgun. Nobody says or does anything.
Not just a shotgun. He's loaded. Like, he has several guns on him.
Right.
He walks in right out the street.
They allow him to give his line, which has been quoted over and over again. And it was very slowly delivered. Like, he came in. I came here to chew bubblegum and kick ass.
And I'm all out of
bubblegum.
Like, the security guard could have called the cops in this moment.
Or shot him. He's a guy with a gun.
He could have done something to him.
Yeah, they just waited for him to finish his line. Like, what's he going to say? What's he going to say? What?
I came here to make a deposit.
Yeah. And then he just starts shooting everybody in the bank. And then just walks out the back door. Like, nothing. Like, there's no alarms. The gates, nothing comes down and clenches by. Like, all right, I'm out. I was going to give it some credit to, like, try to go to a point where, all right, give me a story. Let me know what's happening. And then he shoots up a bank and walks out and like, all right, no. This is it's all – that was my turn-off moment.
Well, we should tell the audience, if you haven't seen the movie, what he's seeing.
All right, right.
Pretty much what he's seeing is when he puts these magic glasses on, he's seeing white people, pretty much white people, yuppies of the 80s,
mm-hmm.
young urban professionals. They are aliens in disguise. So he sees them in black and white and he takes the glasses off and they're just normal white people.
Right.
And he puts them back on, and they're aliens. But it's not just aliens. He sees a billboard that says,
obey.
Obey. It'll say obey or stay asleep.
Or consume.
Or consume this product. Or money, it said, this is your God now.
Right.
It's like subliminal messaging.
Yeah, nothing but subliminal messaging.
Yeah, like,
so that's what he's saying.
All kinds of weird stuff.
But not all white people are aliens, though.
No.
And not all rich white people are aliens, too. Because remember the guy in the store where he's like, oh, I didn't get that promotion. He's wearing a suit and tie.
Right.
I guess if you I guess if you are white in the 80s, you wore a suit.
I guess.
Every white character had a suit on.
I guess.
Yeah.
It was Reagan, dude.
Well, the other problem that I had with these aliens, I guess, they were just like humans without any skin on is what it came out to be. They weren't very alien looking. They just looked like humans with no skin. They just like see the muscles in their face or whatever, and looked all buggied out, like Tales from the Crypt type of style.
They did have also like these weird buggy eyes.
Yeah, like I just feel like aliens should look better than that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, maybe it's easier for them to
blink
here as a human if they're not all crazy.
I guess, but I felt like
when I have no eyelids, man. They can't blink.
Yeah, well, the thing that I was thinking about was before I knew they were aliens, I just thought that they were just horrible people, and like this is what they look like,
like on the inside. But they're like greedy.
Yeah, exactly. So you're like ugly on the inside, so you look ugly with all crazy shit.
Okay.
That's what I thought. But then no, they're aliens. Like, all right, these are just horrible looking aliens. Then
I have a question. So the Roddy Piper goes to the his name is Nada.
Nada.
He doesn't have a name, but he's credited as Nada, which in English means nothing.
Right.
Because he has no name. So the first time he realizes people are aliens is when he's at the newsstand and all the magazines, newspapers, it all says obey, stay asleep, you know, this is your God, blah, 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 consume. Yeah. The alien, the rich white guy, picks up a newspaper to buy and reads it. Does that mean is he seeing that shit or is he actually reading the news? Did you pick up on, like, what do you think about that?
Wow. That's, I didn't think about that.
I think that it's possible that it might be on a different wavelength, and the aliens don't see the same wavelength that the humans do. So that's
he's reading the real news.
That's probably the case.
Yeah, that would make sense.
I disagree. I think that he's not reading anything. It's him trying to assimilate into our human culture.
It's a facade
to look like he's look like he belongs. And that's what they tell the resistance people also. Go on, do your life, look like you're assimilating.
Punch the clock.
Punch the clock. Do your job. Show up on time. All the stuff. So you can look like you are part of this world, that you're not onto them. So I assume that these aliens had the same kind of instructions. You fit in. Do what you got to do to fit in so nobody suspects anything.
Time out there. Hold on a second. You're telling me that guy is meant to fit in, so what he'll do is he'll buy a magazine that actually has like one or two words on each individual paper and stare at it for a good 15, 20 minutes just so he can fit in.
Sure.
It's horrible. There is no logic to that.
That's a great point. That's a great point.
Okay.
That's a fantastic point. A lot of this movie had no logic to it.
And
who's to say that they're even reading? Maybe they're communicating with somebody else because these aliens, maybe they're talking to each other while they're staring at this blank page. Every conversation is like, oh, look at these stupid humans. Look at that guy over there. Look at him walking his dog.
That's not even a dog.
Yeah.
Are you guys familiar with John Carpenter?
Yes.
His work?
I recognize the name. I'm sure if you listed off some movies, I would be like, okay.
Vampire movies.
Halloween.
Okay.
The original Halloween, Jamie Lee Curtis.
Mm-hmm.
Escape from New York.
Okay.
The Thing. Big Trouble, Little China. John Carpenter's Vampires with James Woods. Anyway.
James Woods.
John Carpenter does his own music. And his music is that electronic, like, cowboy sounding.
Bum,
bum, bum. Did you hear that score in the background?
Yeah,
bum, bum, bum. I'm a John Carpenter fan. I like him.
Right.
And I like the music he puts in his movies. Mm-hmm. And I really dug it in this one because it sounded like a Western style, like he's in the West.
But supposedly Western,
he's like Clint Eastwood in The Good, the Bad, the Ugly. He's a man with no name who wanders in a town and he has to help, like, the locals defend the town. But that's a general idea, but it's sort of like a Western, and he put that music in there to go with it.
Was Last Man Standing John Carpenter with Bruce Willis?
Last Man Standing?
Yeah. Where Bruce Willis is like a no-name guy. He comes into town. He contracts out to different sides of the mafia with also Christopher Walken.
No.
It sounds like the movie you're describing. Same kind of concept. Okay.
Yeah, like that's pretty much every Western ever made.
Okay.
Yeah. And when no name comes into town and has to stop the bad guy.
Okay.
But you can tell it's a Carpenter. Like, if you've seen Carpenter's stuff, and you know his style and his look and the music he incorporates, you can totally tell this is a Carpenter film.
Yeah, and you're saying he's boys with Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
So and it felt like it could have been a Kurt Russell movie.
Right?
I got that vibe. I definitely did. Yeah, just like, was it Tim Burton and Johnny Depp? Yeah, they're all...
Or Helena Bonham Carter.
Right. Yeah, same kind of concept. Mm-hmm. You can kind of get a feel for those kind of movies, and if that's the kind of movie, then I got the feel for sure for John Carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In this movie, what did you think of the violence? It was so over the top. Like, did you think it was funny? Like, did you like it?
There was...
Think about it this way. If you believe it hard enough, it'll happen.
Is it over the top reference?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. The violence was bad. It was real bad. There was a lot of horrible dying scenes. The gunfights were just god awful.
I swear, half the time the aliens came back and did the same shot again.
Yeah, they're just very dramatic dying. Like, oh no, woe is me. Like, that's how I felt like when they were dying.
Yeah.
Throw their hands up in the air, kind of swoon a little bit, and then fall over. Like, that's not how you just drop. Mm-hmm. You get shot, you drop. You don't have a dramatic scene and tell Toto goodbye.
Yeah. There's this one part when they're in the alley right before they get transported to wherever else they're supposed to be, or the alien ship or wherever, and they're shooting this guy on the roof. There's supposed to be some sort of cop on the roof.
Yeah.
And they shoot him. He goes, ah, eh, and he falls down, right? Mm-hmm. And then they say something or else have you, and then the next, like, 2 seconds later, the same guy is there shooting him again.
Yeah, I did notice that, too. It seemed like the same scene twice.
Yeah.
But I don't know. The firing of the guns was not aimed at anything, really.
Especially the machine gun.
There was a lot of spray and pray, and every single bullet hit the target somehow.
It was like play GoldenEye, where you get the automatic rifles just...
Yeah, you get the AR-57 and start nailing... Yeah. No.
The way I see it is every single bad guy in this whole movie had the GoldenEye idea, where when he got shot, and all of a sudden he's like...
Oh, yeah, that's how they died, too. Yeah.
So they exactly have like that amount of time to do whatever they wanted before they passed out. Yeah.
Very good. And then there's also a lot of walking around with guns for no reason.
And no one questions it.
Just, yeah.
Hey, look at that guy with guns.
Yeah, so I'm thinking, all right, Detroit, maybe.
Who's the character that was also the partner for Piper?
The black dude.
Keith David?
Keith David. When he first gets the gun, or a gun, in the whole, like, for the first, like, 20 or 30 shots you see him in, when he's holding the gun, it's always straight up. Right in the middle of the open, when everyone's around.
Right, not concealing it.
Exactly. Even after they already said that there's no aliens here, it's just us humans. He's holding the semi-automatic, but just like he is beforehand, like it's stuck there, like frozen. He's like,
he's
turning around. It's right there next to him. You can see it's almost like he's playing a video game. It's like right in the corner of his eye.
One thing I had a problem with this movie is there's a big They go to the resistance meeting and they have a table full of guns.
Yeah,
okay? Right.
So we're jumping all over the place. So what winds up happening is they go to the only cable station in the world, apparently, that can broadcast this alien signal.
Seems that way.
Channel 54.
Yeah.
In wherever, Cleveland. And to think, of all the cities in the world to broadcast the super secret alien signal, it'd be Cleveland or Detroit. Anyway, right. So they get in there. They're trying to destroy the satellite feed to show the people what the world really looks like.
Right.
So the chick, who sort of looks like a dude...
Right.
Who you're set up to believe is a human.
Who likes warm white wine.
Yes, that
should be the first clue.
Right?
She kills Keith David, like, straight up. Boom! Shoots him off screen. Takes, like, a straight headshot right to him.
Okay.
And she holds the gun to him and says, don't do it. Don't do it. Just come with me. And the choppers are on the roof by the satellite saying, right. You have 10 seconds. He pulls out a little mini gun out of his
sweater,
out of the sleeve in the sweater,
right?
But the problem I have is it's never once shown that he put a gun in there. There's an old rule in screenwriting where if you're gonna fire a gun in the third act, you have to show the gun in the first act. You can't just pull it out of your ass and just be like, oh, where'd that come from?
Right.
I kind of feel that that's what happened.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was never established that he took any weapons from that table, or where do you get that minigun?
I don't know.
I feel like there's a possibility that when he was getting guns at the first time, when he's picking up all the semi-automatics, that he might have just stuffed it in there and no one noticed.
But why hide
it? Who would have a little gun like that?
Yeah, plus he's going for an all-out war right now. He's not trying to stealthily sneak into somewhere.
Well, think about this from Tango and Cash. Why would you have a boot gun?
Well, that's a cop thing. Cops have guns in their boots.
They do, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Homeless wrestlers do not have guns in their sweaters. Not to mention this mini gun with
blew
one
up
bullet,
a whole satellite.
With one bullet. Destroys a satellite. Explosion. Huge. I'm not a cable guy. I don't work for a cable company. I don't build satellites. Satellite dishes, I should say.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure one bullet, no matter how well placed it is,
from
not
a little
cause...
tiny, like maybe 3 inches long.
Yeah.
But what if he got the gun from one of the aliens? It could have been like an MIB thing where, like, the noisy cricket.
No, they're using human weapons.
Yeah.
Why weren't they just using that the whole time?
Plus, also, that also upsets me at one point. He runs out of bullets with his automatic weapon and pulls out a gun.
He pulls out a pistol.
Instead of picking, instead of picking up the automatic weapons of the guys he just fucking killed. There's like three guys in by the stairwell with a bunch of automatic weapons. He just passes by them. I'll just use his revolver.
And here we go.
Like, why? Pick up a fucking gun. Nobody does that in movies. Every movie, they kill people. They run out of bullets. Oh, handgun. What about all the bullets, all the guns laying all over the floor from all the people you just killed? Pick one of those up.
Because they don't know if it's been cleaned and it might jam on them?
No.
It was working a second ago to almost kill you.
Yes.
Of course it works.
I guess they never played GoldenEye. They never picked up or any shooting game in their life.
Yes, no.
Mm. Or I'm going to pick up this better gun now.
Right, exactly. You got to upgrade. And maybe in some ridiculous games like Duke Nukem or something, you can have every gun on the planet somehow in your backpack. I don't know. But at least pick up a better gun and move on. Don't just use your pistol, for Christ's sake.
He's got a point there. I can't deny this. It makes sense.
Do you feel this movie kind of touches on what's happening now?
Yes.
Like, could you easily set this in today's world?
Yeah.
Have you seen the new MTV? Have you? Oh,
I've seen the TV. There's no music on there.
Exactly. But like,
what does the M stand for?
I mean, yeah. It's like media TV.
It's more
now?
TVs now.
Oh, I like that. Media TV.
Oh,
I
like interesting. That.
Or like melancholy TV. I don't know. Basically,
you stop with more.
Yeah, all right. But the thing is a lot of those stories, a lot of those movies or shows they have on MTV. Are so ridiculous.
Right.
I mean, they have this one show called, like, it's like Teen Mom.
Mm-hmm.
And all it is about this girl that got pregnant too soon and then what she has to deal with. And people watch this. They have, like, three seasons of this. Mm-hmm. And people watch it.
Oh, no. I don't mean can this play now because of the ridiculousness. I mean the
commentary on society.
The commentary on society. Absolutely. The one percenters. You can make an argument that the aliens are one percenters.
Okay.
Remember that speech the guy gives them where he says, everybody sells out.
Yeah.
Might as well sell out on the right team.
Exactly.
And he says, they control everything, man. They control the media. They control the money. They control the wealth. Doesn't that just sound like a one percenter?
It really does. And I had no doubt in my mind that this was a politically driven movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because it wasn't meant to be good, obviously.
Yeah.
It was meant to bring a point across.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was a movie that came out recently with Brad Pitt in it. It's Killing Them Softly.
Oh, yeah, where he's a hitman.
He's a hitman. Right? The movie sucked. I didn't like the movie. There was a lot of heavy political undertones in the movie. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole point of the movie was to get these political points across. And I feel like this is the same kind of movie. They were just trying to get us to realize how much we're consumers and we're just all sheep and we're all stupid because of Crypt Keeper aliens. It was very
Crypt Keeper aliens is good.
This movie isn't a horror movie, but a lot of like horror blogs and horror sites... It's looped in with it. You can make an argument. It's like horror, sci-fi, fantasy. It's a genre film.
I mean, it's a sci-fi, and it almost takes a genre from Pod People, too, so it's a little bit close.
Yeah,
there.
So it's in that horror, sci-fi, fantasy realm. It's a genre film. That's what those movies are. It's called a genre film, those three genres combined.
Right.
And where am I going with this?
Oh, I don't know.
The people love this movie. People, like, in the horror blogs, the horror community, they straight up love this movie with a passion.
Why? Because of the whole, like...
Probably
because
it's Carpenter.
And, I guess.
And it's just so ridiculous and over the top.
I feel like
that's great.
I feel like this movie would have been much better served as a 10 to 15 minute segment on like Twilight Zone. Mm. It felt like a Twilight Zone movie, just elongated.
Or maybe
too much.
In like a anthology film, like Creepshow, one of the stories.
Anthology
film.
Whereas like the story would have been fine. They just drew it out way
now
too
I know
much.
Where I'm going with this.
Okay.
Oh, right.
Okay. Matt. So a lot of good horror movies. Aren't just about horror. It's a commentary on society. Like Dawn of the Dead, the original Dawn of the Dead. It's about consumerism in the 70s and how people were just mindless zombies going to the mall. And how Night of the Living Dead is about the Vietnam War. And Hostel and Saw, the torture porn movies, are about the violence you see in Iraq.
Yeah.
So even though this isn't horror. Yeah.
I don't know that.
Yeah.
I just thought it was just violence for violence sake. Because it's so awesome.
Well, that's one argument. But anyway, but the reason I say you can lump this in, because like horror, it has commentary on society. And this is just a commentary on Reaganism in the 80s and just the haves and the have-nots. And because you can, during his administration, he had so much budget cuts. Like the reason we have crazy homeless people is because he had budget cuts on mental hospitals. So they had to let them out on the streets. That's why we have a lot of homeless, crazy people. And this guy's homeless.
All right. And crazy.
Well, obviously.
Well, bipolar at least.
So a lot of horror. So a lot of good horror has something else to say besides the
okay
what you're seeing on screen.
Right, but this one was not very subtle about it.
Yeah, this they bashed you yeah over the head with it with a sledgehammer to say, "Hey, look how shitty Reagan is," because this came out in '88. This yeah was Reagan's last year.
Okay. Yeah. See, I'm not big on history, so I, oh, okay, I would have just.
Oh, if Jester was here, he would have had a blast.
Oh, yeah, he'd be needing cleaning up himself right now.
Did you ever think maybe Roddy Piper was an alien, but he didn't know about it? Because he never, because you saw Keith David with the glasses. You saw Keith David from his point of view.
Right.
Do you ever think maybe Roddy Piper was an alien and he just forgot about it? Or because you never see.
Well, did Keith?
That would have been cool if he would have looked in the mirror. Well, just that was, to show us, like, okay, he's not an alien.
Or right when the satellite exploded, his face gets all
fucked up. Oh, yeah, he gets all fucked up.
Yeah.
And he was an alien all along. Yes. Dude, we should have. Dude, boom. Where were we in 88, right?
I think,
well, we were 4 years yeah old. Damn it.
The problem about that is, though, is Keith David actually looked at him, too, remember?
Yeah, that's true.
So I guess that's true.
Damn.
So the only possible way is if he's. Well, that doesn't work either, no.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
No. Just cut that scene out.
Yeah. What'd you think of when it's finally – when the satellite gets shut off and then you see the aliens in their true form? Did you like that?
It's all blue and red.
Yeah,
and
when
stuff
they're
like
blue
that
and red. And then you actually see the signs say consume. And mm-hmm. Did you like that when it was finally – the last 20 seconds, 30 seconds, you see what the world really looks like?
I thought it was quite interesting how people – I started expecting things. And then I liked how that one alien at the bar was just staring at the TV going – oh, crap. Because everyone started staring at him, and he started looking at the TV and saw all the people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was like, this is not going to end well for me.
Okay, that makes sense. Because I was wondering, like, why is he just standing there? Everyone's staring at him. He should be like, what are you looking at? What are you looking at? Oh, no, you can see me! And freak out.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just like a, oh, I'm fucked type of thing. All right, all right.
And then, like, the last part where the hooker at the end mm-hmm. is like, she's having
sex. That was
sex.
A weird way to end this movie.
I know, right?
Such a weird way to end this movie.
She's like literally having sex at the moment, and the TV's on. I guess it was CNN from Channel 54. And she.
Live from Cleveland.
Exactly. Right? And then she's like, that's so confusing. She's all staring at the alien on TV. Then she looks down, and then there's this guy.
He's saying, what's wrong, baby?
Yeah, what's wrong, baby? He's an alien. And she's like just staring at him all dumbstruck.
Credits.
Credits, yeah. That's a very weird way to end the movie. It's very weird.
I think it's pretty campily fun. I like that. I like that.
And the look on Adam's face, he was just staring at the screen, just like he didn't know what to do. Like he wasn't sure if he liked it, if he hated it. He was just staring at the screen. And he even said, let's go outside and get a cigarette.
Yeah, I need to decompress a little bit. It's like I need to comprehend what just happened to me.
Well, hold on a second. I thought we went to the kitchen to get food.
Yeah. But it felt very weird. I felt weird for like a good 20 minutes after the movie, just like lost in I don't know what. Maybe my brainwaves got shut off by that satellite.
I know you didn't like Roddy Piper's acting, but what did you think of his little one-liners? Besides the bubblegum one, like, what did you think of him? That's a straight wrestler move right there, like, to say those stupid one-liners.
Yeah, they all seemed forced. They all seemed forced. Like, at least when, like, Schwarzenegger does it, it's like it fits in somehow. These all seem like he had a list of things he wanted to say in the movie and just put them in randomly whenever he felt like
it. You're jumping a little far ahead. I got something in trivia about that.
Okay.
I still like that one bit where he's actually in the convenience store when he first starts acting out. And he just goes full on WWE on this old lady.
Yeah.
Could you picture him with a mic just talking shit to an old lady in the crowd? Look at this one.
Yeah. You
know, he literally is like dragged out of the TV show for WWE.
Uh-huh.
And then she's just staring at him. He's like, he can see me or whatever. Yeah. But it's... He's like, then look at this guy, this one. He's like, you look great, you look fine. That crib keeper, yeah. Like straight off the bed. Like, okay,
that's when he went full asshole real quick.
Yeah,
yeah. Or he's like, nice. No less than 2 minutes ago, he was nice. Put the glasses on, then whoa, went full asshole.
Oh, did you guys pick up on the what is it? Red, white, red, yellow, green. What is that called?
The stoplight.
Stoplight.
Stop signal.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
The signal. I don't know where I'm going. I couldn't think for a second. The stop signal, remember, it was had
a satellite.
A speaker phone, and it was saying, sleep,
mm-hmm.
sleep. Apparently, your glasses not only affect your vision, they affect your hearing.
That's right.
Did you pick up on that?
I have the same exact note in my notes here. Apparently, you can also hear things. Well, you see black and white. Maybe that ups your hearing because your vision goes halfway.
You just hear, sleep.
Yeah.
Sleep.
Sleep. But the problem that I had with the end when the satellite went down and you were able to see everything, I thought the signal was, I guess it was subliminal, but turns out it wasn't subliminal. It was blinding you in a way. Like if it was blinding you to not see these signs,
mm-hmm.
and now you can see them, does that mean the whole time you weren't noticing the signs were there? Like you see the billboard, you don't see obey, you just see the billboard. Now all of a sudden you see obey, so you like realize that's what the message is, but it's not what they've been seeing all the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And all these the fake people. So the what they were broadcasting was just some sort of visual audio blockage. It wasn't a subliminal message. It was a block.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed weird. They're like all of a sudden now you can see everything for what it truly is. That means the signal wasn't doing what I thought it was supposed to be doing.
The way I see things, I mean, like the spectrum of color can be divided into wavelengths. Same with sound as well. I believe that if they can block out certain things, and that's why they can't see certain things as well.
Mm.
Well, I guess. I mean, they are an alien race.
I think it's called a spectrometer, I think it's called, right?
Sure.
Yeah, same idea, I think.
I don't know. I guess they if they are these quote-unquote aliens that they say they are, that I guess they do have technology that can pull that off. But it still irked me. They're like, I don't know. I like it.
I loved how when you finally saw the aliens' base and you see them teleporting to Andromeda.
Yeah.
The speech that guy gives where he says, we're just part of their expansion. We're just their third world. And I love that.
They're entrepreneurs or something. They're enterprisers or something.
And they're just... Because that's what America does. We go to like these shitty countries and take all their resources and say, you're going to do what we fucking say. That's pretty much this movie.
I still don't understand what the point of the aliens was. What they're there to what? To sell us stuff that we would have sold ourselves anyway? I mean, we are capitalists. We make stuff, we sell stuff.
Yeah.
That's how we already are. Unless right now we're also being controlled by aliens or something. they're there to watch us do this to each other? Or I don't get why they're here. They're trying to push us to sell more? I don't get it.
It's best left up to your imagination.
Well,
because you're going to create in your mind the best solution possible.
We have three brains here. Let's choose an imagination right now. I mean, like,
we already picked a better ending.
Yeah,
we can get a good reason right now.
But what I'm asking is, what were they actually trying to take from us or give to us?
Exactly. I have no idea.
I mean,
they're trying to give us money for what?
The only thing
more.
Well, the only thing I heard them say is that we were considered livestock. So in any, I guess the whole point about it is to get us all under the whim and everything like that, so they can use us as livestock.
They can eat us?
Maybe.
Ah. Eh? The whole movie, there was not a lot of explanation until way too late.
Mm-hmm.
Like we went through, I think.
A good 45 minutes of nothing.
Yeah, 45 minutes of a little bit of explanation.
Act one was slow. Act two was quick.
It picked
and
up.
Then act three
was
you
black.
Were just bombarded with so much exposition and information.
Exactly.
Like the aliens take off here and then they're the third world, and I was like, wait, what the fuck? Like you're hitting me with way too much information.
Yeah, it's all
what
all
happened
of
to all the cool fun gunfights and stuff?
Yeah. No.
Now it took a serious turd.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was way too much explanation that it should have taken place slowly over the entire thing. Like learn a little bit here, learn a little bit here. It's not all of a sudden, here's the master plan, and now it's over.
Yeah, and the only way they're able to get through the whole thing is because they invented this new type of contact lens that's able to let them see and hear things that the sunglasses did too.
And it doesn't have as hard of an effect on your body.
Yeah, that's the only way they're else should be able to get through the enemy lines.
But you still see them black and white. Which that still bothers me. Why you got to see black and white? I mean, they got the technology, you can see things. Why not in real life?
I think
color?
That's more of a technical aspect of Carpenter making the film. It's to show a completely different world, because we're watching a movie in color. So by you having something that's not in color, it stands out. I guess for a technical point of view, it's easier to film than having it also in color, because it might throw the audience off.
I'm guessing
that's a technical reason.
I would prefer like some sort of like fog or around the edges of the
screen.
Like
a haze, like an aura or something.
Right.
Yeah. In this world, does that mean like celebrities and athletes are aliens?
MIB, the same thing. They're all aliens.
Yeah. Bruce Willis is an alien?
Michael Jackson was an alien.
Hold on.
In MIB, Michael Jackson was an alien.
Yeah.
Well, that's believable. Bruce Willis is not believable. That's just pure humanity.
Well, there's an episode of the X-Files I remember. I didn't watch a lot of the X-Files, but I do remember this one episode where the gang or the duo are sent to Kansas or somewhere in the Midwest the locals think this baseball player is an alien because he's so good. He's hitting home runs, he's fast, he could steal.
Michael Jordan?
And well, no, that's the thing. Like, people say
Puig.
Yeah, because there's this old joke like, oh, they have to be aliens because no human can jump that high or throw that hard or anything. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But the joke is he pulls off his human mask and he's an actual alien. And the alien starts telling him, he goes, yeah, we've infiltrated your sports. Michael Jordan, alien. Bo Jackson, alien.
All right.
So I was thinking of that while watching this movie.
Okay.
Because my brain started going off like, wow, can you imagine, like, does that mean, like, because this is the 80s, like, is Magic Johnson and Larry Bird aliens?
Yeah, well.
Because they're rich.
Right.
I wouldn't say it's because they're rich, because have you noticed the majority of the people that actually were aliens were all, like, those high-end one percenters that don't do anything.
Right.
They don't, like, damage their body in the mm-hmm. sport. They all are the ones that sit back and do the investing.
The owners of the team.
Yeah.
Not the athletes themselves.
Yeah, because the aliens don't seem to have any kind of special powers except for their wristwatch, which can teleport them or whatever.
Because Roddy Piper said, oh, you can die just like we can.
Yeah, they're just like regular people mm-hmm. that have technology, it seems like. Yeah. There's nothing special about them except for they have access to money somehow.
Yeah, that was weird. I mean, I think they're just producing their own money and it just because it's saying obey or this is your God. So mm-hmm. obviously they're having a control under what kind of paper they're using. So I guess what they're all rich because they're all giving you just money or paper and the subliminal messaging is saying that it's money.
Yeah, but they have all this money to do all this stuff, and they're giving it to us so that we can give it back to them. It doesn't make sense. Why are they here?
I don't know either. I have no idea either. It makes no sense.
It would make sense if it's like they're here for natural resources or.
Yeah, but they're not
saying any of that.
No, they don't say anything.
They did say that they were trying to turn this world into their habitat-based world.
Yeah, with the air or whatever.
Yeah, so in a sense, they're just trying to make us mundane and like lethargic to see what they wanted. So while they were changing the world's atmosphere and stuff like that, similar to that of what other movie was that?
Spaceballs? They're stealing the air?
No, not stealing the air, but they were actually making
it's like the Matrix. Put us in pods then, harvest our energy that way, and have the world the way you want it then. That makes more sense than giving us money to give back to you.
Yeah.
Jesus. All right.
Closing thoughts on They Live?
I think it's pretty clear what my thoughts are on this movie.
Great ideas, interesting fight scenes, and overall really unusual way of talking, explaining a plot.
Yeah, I did enjoy the idea, but executed horribly.
Like The Purge. It's a good idea.
Yeah, exactly. Same thing. Also with the Idiocracy, which I'm sure I brought up. Great idea. Horribly executed and to the point where the movie just sucks.
A lot of people online think this is John Carpenter's best movie.
Oh. No. Yeah. Why?
I suspect if we put on sunglasses, we will see them as aliens. That's
what I suspect. Or they're wearing Carpenter shirts.
Right, like
that's
exactly.
That's what you see them as, fanboys. Yeah. Ooh, how about that?
Ooh.
you see the hardcore fanboys. Anyway.
Yeah.
Rotten Tomatoes, part of the show where I make the guys guess what the Rotten Tomatoes
away,
score is.
Though. I mean, saying that everyone said this is one of his best works, so we obviously are thinking that it's a high level now.
Well, let's see.
All right.
What do you want to guess first?
Let's do the consumers first.
Yeah, the people.
The consumers? You mean the users?
Yes.
Okay. I guess it's rubbing off on you.
Right.
Audience, what do you think the audience thought of this? 0 to 100.
74.
Oh, God. I want to give humanity more credit than this. But based on your best Carpenter, God, I would hope it's no higher than 50. I'll go 51. But
it's 76.
Oh!
Are you looking at these before you get here?
Nope.
You son of a bitch.
All right. The tomato meter, the critics. Okay. What is their rating?
Okay, the critics have a higher, I'm guessing like a 89. No, 79.
See, they should be more critical, so they should judge it harsher. But since my radar's all whacked out, what'd you say?
I said 79.
I'll go 79 and a half.
84%.
Yes! Close without going over, I win.
That's just ridiculous.
I get both showcases.
What? Okay. Yeah, that's true. If you're within $100, you win both showcases.
We're within $100 of one of the... Never mind. It's 0 to 100. It's within $100 regardless.
What's your Rotten Tomato score for They Live?
Okay. I would not have watched this movie, whether or not, like, full all the way through, if I had not had to do this for this podcast. Right. So I would say about 50.
Okay. 50.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a 6%.
Six?
6%.
Single digits.
Single digits.
Wow.
They did show boobs at the end, didn't they?
Yeah, that's what made it a six.
Do you know what other movie on Rotten Tomatoes is actually rated six?
What?
Grown Ups 2.
Adam Sandler? Okay.
See, I believe this.
My rating? 70.
70?
It's average.
Oh,
it's,
my God.
It's average.
You're like everyone else.
But if Kurt Russell was in it.
All right.
Oh, if Kurt Russell was in it, do you think it would have been a different? Because Kurt Russell is an actual actor.
Yeah. Then it would have got higher, I'm sure.
Okay. Yeah.
Because it would have sold me on the character at least.
Okay.
It's just this guy was.
I mean, he was like 0 to 60 in like what, 2 frames?
Right. Exactly. Two shades.
Oh, 2 shades.
Those are our review. Those are our opinions. We have lots of them, but we don't have credentials. Now let's hear from people who actually do have credentials. What would you like to hear first, good or bad?
You know what? I want to hear the bad first because the good's probably going to bring it back up afterwards.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Desmond Ryan of the Philadelphia Inquirer says, as a movie, They Live is lethargic. As election propaganda, it's terrific.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. I can't believe I pulled this one. David Starrett of Christian Science Monitor. You can imagine where this is
going. Wow.
Too bad director John Carpenter doesn't match this tantalizing premise with snappy, thoughtful filmmaking. Long sketches of the movie are trite and silly.
Right.
Jeff Andrew of Top Critic says, the black and white visuals disturb for only so long, and while themes of indoctrination and conspiracy prove initially intriguing, the film quickly descends into fistfights and gunfire.
Yeah.
On to the good ones. Jay Carr of the Boston Globe says, John Carpenter's They Live has cult favorite written all over it, and part of the reason is the way it regenerates the cheap, juicy, surprisingly potent sci-fi of the 1950s.
A lot of people?
Invasion of the Body Snatchers, yeah. The Variety staff at Variety say, a fantastically subversive film, a nifty little confection pitting us versus them, the has versus the have-nots.
Right.
And Eric Mellon of SceneStealers.com, I don't know what that is, They Live is a paranoid thriller that stretches a paper-thin budget with inventive special effects that serve the stories and a message that still holds water today.
Inventive special effects?
It's a mask. What they're trying to say is that he had very little funding.
He had $3 million to make this movie.
Roddy Piper get like $2 million of it?
I don't think so.
I feel like there wasn't a lot sunk into
it. There were helicopters, police cars, riot machine,
Oh, by the way, the cops. There's a lot of cops running around.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cops running around, like, just behind the cop cars. They must have, like, dropped off right at that block to then follow the cop cars. Yeah. Now go. Get them. What are they? Are they running from the station?
Maybe they couldn't afford too many cars.
I guess. That would make sense with the budget.
But they're rich. These aliens are rich.
We're talking about the budget.
Oh, the actual movie.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They ran out of money for cop cars.
But they had enough for glasses.
Yeah.
And explosions.
Yeah, glasses which you can get at any 7-Eleven, I'm sure.
But they ran. See, I think this is the reason why they ran out of money for the guns and bullets. That's why you switched to just a pistol. That's why.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's it for They Live. Adam, give them the email for any requests.
Spoilers. At RatPackPodcast.com.
Any movie you want us to talk about, we'll review.
Absolutely. In fact, They Live was a suggestion from a listener.
Yes.
And thank you for that. it was definitely interesting. I do enjoy movies that upset me to this level in a weird way. It's because I like to yell. I like to get angry.
Yeah. I have a suggestion for next week.
All right.
Okay.
And it's a genre that you and Cowboy like. So hopefully he'll be back on for next week.
All right.
And it's been my favorite movie of the past couple months.
Oh, boy.
And nobody understands why I like this movie. Because we've seen a bunch of guy movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's spice it up and give it to the ladies.
Oh my.
We're going to watch Pitch Perfect.
All right.
Pitch Perfect. Why are you looking at me like that? You don't like Pitch Perfect? Have you seen it?
Oh, Maestro's walking away.
Maestro, where are you going?
Oh, God.
Trust me, you will love this movie. No, when I saw Pitch Perfect, I was like, oh, this movie's going to suck.
This is an acapella thing.
It's like a movie version of Glee, but way better than Glee.
All right, well.
So ladies, any ladies out there, we are switching genres to a more lady-friendly film. We're going to be doing Pitch Perfect.
Should definitely be interesting.
You can get it on Redbox. Buy it. buy it. Go out and buy it. I'm telling you to go buy it.
Go on Amazon, buy Pitch Perfect. Is that what you're trying to say?
And speaking of Amazon.
Yes, go to Amazon. Go to our webpage first. On the right-hand side of our page, there's a banner you click on. Click on that first before you buy anything, and we get a little kickback from the money you spend. Doesn't cost you anything extra, but we get a little kickback. So click on that. Click on the link, bookmark it, so every time you go there, it goes through us again.
I don't know if the listeners know this or not, but we've been pumping in subliminal messages, so they're going to be clicking on it as soon as they hang up.
Oh, yeah. Consume. Bye.
Obey.
Obey.
This is your God now. All right, guys. This is Hollywood.
I'm Maestro.
I'm Adam.
Bye. Phone in the morning, and I'm zoning. They say I'm possessed. It's an omen. I keep it 300 like the Romans. 300 bitches with the Trojans. Baby, we live it in the moment. I've been a menace for the longest, but I ain't finished. I'm devoted, and you know it, and you know it. Stop all that coon shit. Black. Early morning cartoon shit. Black. This is that goon shit. Fuck up your whole afternoon shit. I'm a wolf. Soon as the moon hit, I'm a wolf.